Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you gave your apostles grace truly to believe and to preach your word. Grant that we might love what they believed and preach what they taught through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. When I was about 7 or 8 years old, we lived in an old farmhouse out in the country on a wooded 88 acres. It was a wonderful place to grow up, but it was about 45 minutes from much of anything at all. You couldn't run down the block and get some McDonald's. But about 10 minutes away from our house, at the one traffic light there was in town, it wasn't even a three-stack light. It was a blinking red, and on the other side was a blinking yellow. We literally had one light in town. At that light, there was a corner store. It was a small place with two gas pumps and all the regular things you'd find at a convenience store. Sometimes, while my brother and I were out playing around the old farm, we'd get a hankering for a cheeseburger, just like kids do. Now, we knew that on a random day, Mom was not going to drive us 45 minutes into town to get a cheeseburger. But there was that corner store. It was a lovely little place. And so we would beg our mom to take us there. They had this amazing frozen cheeseburger that you could cook right in that dirty microwave in that store. And I'll tell you what, at that moment, I could still taste it in my mouth. At that moment, when you were hungry, there wasn't much better than that frozen burger zapped in a dirty gas station microwave. We'll eat a lot of things when we're hungry. The people in today's reading from St. Matthew's Gospel find themselves in a similar situation. The text tells us that they're in a desolate place. There's no shops where they could buy themselves something to eat. And they don't even have a corner store where they can buy a nasty cheeseburger. So the disciples suggest that Jesus should send all the people away and let them go into the village and fend for themselves. It's not a bad solution necessarily, but Jesus has other ideas. You see, he didn't come to earth to send people away from himself to be fed. He came to draw people to himself so that he can feed them with the bread of life. But the disciples didn't fully understand this yet. So in order to test their faith, he tells the disciples, don't send them away. Feed them. You feed them. This seems an impossible task to them. And frankly, even today, feeding 5,000 people at the drop of a hat would be a nightmare. Getting everything organized and all the money that's required. We've spent a number of weeks preparing to feed just a couple hundred of us this Friday. It would be almost nearly impossible, even today, to do that. I could understand if at that moment the disciples were thinking, he's lost his mind. They needed Jesus to see the reality as they saw it. There's a lot of people. There wasn't enough money to buy all that food. And all they had, my pages are stuck together. All they had was 5 loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus is about to show them not just what the reality in fact is, but who reality is. John, in his account of this miracle, tells us that a little boy in the crowd gave the bread and the fish to the disciples. While this might seem insignificant, it's actually important. Jesus didn't scoff at the insignificance of what was offered. He embraced the gift that came from the faith of a child. This is the kind of faith Jesus wants to see in his disciples. Not only from his disciples back then, but from his disciples today. There isn't anything sufficient enough we can offer to Jesus. It's always going to be like 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 people. And besides that, everything we have comes from him in the first place, and everything we give him is already his. Does that sound familiar? We say it just before we receive the Eucharist. The celebrant says, "All things come from you, O Lord." And the people reply, "And of your own have we given you." It's during this time that the offering is brought forward and the celebrant blesses it. Now, we don't have this tradition here, but in many liturgical churches, the bread and wine is also brought up during the offering by the people of the church. The people literally return to God gifts of money, bread, and wine. Gifts that have come from him in the first place. Here we are, all these years later, placing our insignificant gifts in the hands of Jesus. And Jesus does today, with our gifts of bread and wine, the same thing he did when he fed the 5,000. Matthew tells us Jesus, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, said a blessing, then broke the loaves and gave it to his disciples, and the disciples gave it to the crowd. Jesus takes the bread, looks up to heaven, says a blessing, breaks the bread, gives it to his disciples. We find this wording in our liturgy as well. On the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is no mistake. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus is demonstrating that he is, in fact, the broken bread. He is the bread of life. He came to draw us to himself so that he can feed us with the bread of heaven, with the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the manna that came down from heaven. John chapter 6 gives us a record of what happened in the days just after the feeding of the 5,000. It helps us to understand the meaning of this miracle. John tells us that the crowd that Jesus had just miraculously fed the day before had followed him. They were looking for another meal. Frankly, it's hard to blame them in those times. Getting food wasn't as simple as running to Kroger or the corner store. The crowd thinks maybe they've found someone who can provide them with food security for life. And they're not exactly wrong, but Jesus wants to feed their souls too. Look what Jesus said in verse 26 and 27. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 891 of your pew Bible. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw a sign, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. From on him, God the Father has set his seal." Jesus knows that food is scarce. He also knows that they need a different kind of food, the kind that leads to eternal life. So being who he is, he tells them where to get that food that endures to eternal life. Let's continue their reading on verse 36 on page 891. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." That's the right response, isn't it? When you are offered bread that will fill your hunger forever, the response has got to be, give us this bread always. What does Jesus say? He says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. After the children of Israel left Egypt and were wandering in the wilderness, we read about it in our psalm today. God fed them with bread from heaven called manna. The manna that sustained the children of Israel in the wilderness was given to them by God. But the real, true bread from heaven is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Returning again to John chapter 6, Jesus said to the crowd, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. We need the sustenance that he can bring, not temporary sustenance, but eternal food, so that we will never hunger again. Every day, in an effort to fill our hunger, we try to fill our hunger for truth, for life, for knowledge, and other desires. We consume any number of things that can never satisfy us. Some consume riches in the hope that they'll find happiness, contentment, and security. A bigger or better job, a bigger home, just the right balance that's enough but not too much. But will it ever be enough? Often, we achieve what we wanted, but we find when we get there that the goalposts have moved. When a reporter asked the billionaire John D. Rockefeller how much money was enough, he answered, just a little bit more. Others seek truth and knowledge through news outlets and political drama. Truth and knowledge are good only when they're pointed at real, true bread. If we feed on things that are not life-giving, we get back death. If we feed on things that are the bread of life, Jesus, we get back life. Still others rely on retail therapy to fill the void created by loss and loneliness, things that can never really satisfy. Recently, I saw a video of an Amazon driver who was caught on a video doorbell saying, I've been delivering to this house for 9 years. Isn't the house full yet? More and more and more is a desire that can never be filled. Riches, politics, and things may numb us or satisfy us for a moment, but they're just versions of that gas station cheeseburger. Things fill us for the moment, but they don't last long, and before we know it, we're hungry again. This is why Jesus calls us to feed on the bread of life. He knows you get what you put in. Today, unlike most Sundays, we're able to both read the gospel and also step into it ourselves. Step into this miracle that we're told about. At this table, Jesus meets us, and he takes the gifts of bread and wine, which we offer to him, that he has already given to us. We offer them back to him. Our offering, it's insufficient. But that's okay, because we don't come to this table because we have enough, because we are enough. We come to this table because we don't have enough. We have a need. We need to be filled at this table. We bring our offering, knowing that when we place what little we have into the hands of Jesus, he will take it up. He will bless it and break it and give it back to us as the bread of life. He doesn't send us away empty to fulfill, to get our fill somewhere else. No, he says, he draws us to himself. He says, come to me and I will give you the bread of life. Our work is to come like that boy and place what little we have in the hands of Jesus. Today, as we come to the table, we come to the intersection of the feeding of the 5,000, the manna that came down from heaven, and the Lord's table, the Last Supper. The Eucharist isn't a one-time thing. It's a for-all-time thing. It's all one meal, the meal of the bread of heaven, the bread of life. Today, August 2nd, 2026, God continues to rain down manna from heaven to feed his people. He's raining down bread from heaven right now, today, here at Knoxville, at Apostles, and at other churches in our community and all around the world. Not in some vague way, but with the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, with the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. In a few minutes, the celebrant will consecrate the bread and the wine, and we will be invited to feast on the bread of life. We'll join the 5,000 on the hillside, and we'll be fed by the one who broke 5 loaves and 2 fishes and somehow had enough to feed everyone. When you come to the altar rail, bring your 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bring whatever you have to offer to Christ, even if, or especially if, it's insufficient. Come with the faith of a child, holding out whatever small thing you have, trusting it to Christ. Leave what can never satisfy back at the door. Stretch out your empty hands as a confession that you need to be filled with the bread of life. And feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen.